Granny, meanwhile, was two streets away. She was also, by the standards of other people, lost. She would not see it like that. She knew where she was, it was just that everywhere else didn't. It has already been mentioned that it is much harder to detect a human mind than, say, the mind of a fox. The human mind, seeing this as some kind of a slur, wants to know why. This is why. Animal minds are simple, and therefore sharp. Animals never spend time dividing experience into little bits and speculating about all the bits they've missed. The whole panoply of the universe has been neatly expressed to them as things to A. mate with, B. eat, C. run away from, and D. rocks. This frees the mind from unnecessary thoughts and gives it a cutting edge where it matters. Your normal animal, in fact, never tries to walk and chew gum at the same time. The average human, on the other hand, thinks about all sorts of things around the clock, on all sorts of levels, with interruptions from dozens of biological calendars and timepieces. There's thoughts about to be said, and private thoughts, and real thoughts, and thoughts about thoughts, and a whole gamut of subconscious thoughts. To a telepath, the human head is a din. It is a railway terminus with all the tannoys talking at once. It is a complete FM waveband. And some of those stations aren't reputable. They're outlawed pirates on forbidden seas who play late-night records with limbic lyrics. Granny, trying to locate Esk by mind magic alone, was trying to find a straw in a haystack. She was not succeeding, but enough blips of sense reached her through the heterodyne wails of 1,000 brains all thinking at once to convince her that the world was, indeed, as silly as she had always believed it was. She met Hilter at the corner of the street. She was carrying her broomstick. The better to conduct an aerial search, with great stealth, however, the men of Ohulan were right behind Staylong ointment, but drew the line at flying women. She was distraught.
"Not so much as a hint of her," said Granny.
"Have you been down to the river? She might have fallen in."
"Then she'd have just fallen out again. Anyway, she can swim. I think she's hiding. Drat her!"
"What are we going to do?"
Granny gave her a withering look.
"Hilter, goat-founder, I'm ashamed of you acting like a cowin." "Do I look worried?"
Hilter peered at her.
"You do, a bit. Your lips have gone all thin."
"I'm just angry, that's all."
"Gypsies always come here for the fair. They might have taken her."
Granny was prepared to believe anything about city folk, but here she was on firmer ground.
"Then they're a lot dafter than I'd give them credit for," she snapped. "Look, she's got the staff."
"What good would that do?"
said Hilter, who was close to tears.
"I don't think you've understood anything I've told you," said Granny severely. "All we need to do is go back to your place and wait."
"What for?"
"The screams or the bangs or the fireballs or whatever," Granny said vaguely.
"That's heartless."
"Oh, I expect they've got it coming to them. Come on, you go on ahead and put the kettle on."
Hilter gave her a mystified look, then climbed on her broom and rose slowly and erratically into the shadows among the chimneys. If broomsticks were cars, this one would be a split-window Morris Minor. Granny watched her go, then stumped along the wet streets after her.
She was determined that they wouldn't get her up in one of those things.